I'm here. Let's see. Who did I let in? Lisa or Lisa? It must have been you.
I'm still on.
I had to let you back in.
I didn't do anything. I don't know, Sarah, about this. Beginning to have my doubts.
No, that see that's a conditioned response.
It is a conditioned response, and it isn't. It is, and
Right.
this is a teaching. This is truly like the past three classes, right? We've had this pattern, and this is something I need to kind of like flow with. And so, yeah, I did, but I didn't touch it.
That's funny.
So, okay, so
Yes,
I'm.
and it is. It's like you're adjusting to a new frequency.
I certainly am. Totally agree with that one. Oh my gosh, yes. All right, I'm going to mute now. Thank you.
Okay. Maybe you are. It's not muting.
Oh. Well, I can mute myself. Does that not work?
It didn't. Okay, nope, you're still there. Let's see what happens if I mute you. I can mute you, and where'd you go now? You changed on the list here. I thought three. Find you. My list doesn't show everyone. I have to go down a
He's on
little.
there. She just once they go off mute, they or go back on mute, they'll go drop down into your list further.
Yeah, it's not even at the bottom.
Yeah, I
Let's
think
see.
it's kind of random. It says
Oh, there she
iPhone, L
is.
Paul.
Yeah,
Yeah.
right. Okay, I got her. So, Lisa, can you unmute yourself now?
Yes,
That's
I
what.
can.
Okay.
And now I'm going to mute myself.
Okay. There we go. Okay. Settle in gently. Using the word gently, we're not pressing inward anywhere. Give yourself space to feel your seat and feet. You're comfortable in your chair. So one of the conditioned responses is to rush into relaxing. And there's no pressure to do that here. So you can actually sense how much of that conditioned response is in you. It's kind of a reflex. It's so deeply conditioned. So breathe and sense the lack of pressure to do anything quickly here. And feel your calf muscles. There we go. So here we are interfacing through technology. And during the break, I'm sure a lot of people checked their messages when on their phones or whatever devices. And how does that affect the frequency of the ceremonial space? Can you sense the technology, the frequency of the technology? See if you can sense it.
Sarah, it's Lisa. I feel a very strong staticky feeling, and a lot has happened today, so I'm not sure what has actually been a source of that. But coming back and sitting, it's like a prickly kind of feeling of energy in my body.
And did you like check your phone and
No,
messages? No? Okay.
I didn't.
Okay.
Stayed off my phone.
Okay.
Yeah. Lee, I also, it felt fuzzy to me, and I would not have recognized it unless you pointed it out. And I also did not touch or check my phone at all. But buzzy, very buzzy.
So, it's so much a part of our environment now. And frequently we don't notice it until we're in a space that's not filled with all these waves going through the air. So it's something to note, be aware of, be able to sense how your body's responding, be able to take care of yourself if you need to, if there's that kind of buzzy feeling, and step away if you need to. But it has become so much a part of our environment that we just need to be aware of it. We're not making it good or bad. We're just being aware of it. So, in the same way that you might live in a city and there's lots of traffic and honking horns and sirens blaring, or it's part of the environment, and it's subtler. So it's a little tougher to know how it's impacting your body. Like I can feel like a strain, a tension in my body from the frequencies. And then, when I go outside and I'm in the woods, I can feel it release. And that's not just my general tension. It's the release from those tech frequencies. So it's just important to note. And so when we're guiding a group, we're working with someone, we're working with ourselves, you just want to take that into account. And, I often say, please leave, your devices alone. And while we're in circle together, we don't want to be reading messages and interfacing on social media, because that can really drag a circle down. So something to note, to notice, see how you choose to handle it. And we're on Zoom, so we're involved with it. So we're not pretending like it doesn't exist. But when someone's attention goes to social media, there's a big difference. So there's a matter of the attention that really makes a big difference in the circle. So you have the baseline of the tech frequency, but then you have the attention factor. And so if someone's attention goes into connecting on their social media, it opens up a channel for a flood of heavy energy into a ceremonial space. So there are certain things that just are part of the eternal ceremonial space that no matter what space, time, realm we're in, that the human attention is the biggest factor. And you're the type of attention that you're engaging in. So as we sink into that deeper space, and we shifted from the mind into a more body connected, grounded spirit of the land, Mother Earth, which we're still engaged with, it's just not up front and center as much. The quality of our attention becomes a huge factor. And this is what I find the most challenging about working with people from the Western cultures. How do you bring someone, guide someone, help someone come into a space where they have a relaxed attention? How do you help them get out of their head and reconnect with themselves to the point where they can actually relax enough that there's some spaciousness there? Because there's no way to have a sacred ceremonial space without a relaxed attention and presence. So, how do you bring someone into that space? How do you guide that space? How do you prepare that space? How do you prepare yourself? What do you know about this? Let's start with what you know, and we'll expand on it. I mean, have you thought about that? Like, if you were going to work with a group or a person, and even yourself, how do you shift into a more connected sacred presence, or guide someone to do that? What do you know about that now?
I know for me, I have to do it for myself first before I can support anyone else doing it. Especially with clients, I have to be very grounded and in that space as I enter that meeting, and that will help facilitate the other person or other people to drop in as well.
Okay, so Russell, if you wouldn't mind dropping in a little more right now. Okay, could you feel your shift?
Yes.
Okay, now can you say what you're going to say again from this place? And it could be different words, same words, whatever, but I want you to stay in that attention space.
For me, I need to be in the space I'm in now. So
What was that last word? I didn't get it.
now the space
In the
that
now.
yeah
Okay.
that I'm in this moment right
Okay.
now, as I drop deeper in, it facilitates my family or the clients I work with to able to open it up for them to drop in as well.
So how did that feel, the two different ways you expressed yourself?
Yeah, I didn't realize at the beginning that there was some anxiousness to me when I had first spoke, but yeah, now I can sense it was coming from more up in my head, but I genuinely didn't realize it in that moment.
And that, yes, and thank you for making that shift and helping us know this, okay? We usually don't know. We usually don't know where we're at. And it requires a lot of practice to have the reference points fairly secured. And we have to create some reference points for ourselves to help us know. And for me, it's always the calf muscles. Like, that's why I keep emphasizing the calf muscles. That's my reference point. I can feel totally relaxed. I can feel clear. I think I feel clear. I think I feel bright and shiny and happy. And then I feel my calf muscles, and they've got tension in it. And so for me, that's my reference point to say, hey, I'm not where I think I am. And let me adjust further. So, to everyone here, what is your reference point? Do you have one that helps you know something you really don't want to know? I mean, we really don't want to know. Most of the time, that we're not where we think we are. So how do you know this? How can you help yourself? What can be your reference point?
I noticed as you guided my back, I noticed there's a lot of tension in my glutes and a lot in my pelvic area, like down to my upper quads, through my lower back to my upper quads. I think that's probably my telltale sign for me.
Mine is the deepening of my breath.
Ah. Please share what your reference points could be.
Well, mine could be if I feel a straining in my head. And also my breathing and
Mm-hmm.
the tightness in my back. If I have, how tight my back is and how deep my breathing is. Those are reference points for me.
Yeah.
Sarah, can you hear me? This is Trish.
Oh, that sounds much better, Trish.
I have no idea what I did, but anyway, for me, and I don't see clients, I don't do really what you do with people, but I had an interesting thing happen 2 days ago when I was talking to two people, one in the stock and like a stockbroker, and the other one an attorney. And the only way I can give reference to it is kind of is if someone is standing next to me, I feel that they're there, you know, they're right in your field, they're right there. And then when they tend to get a little bored, I'm Chatty Cathy, it's like they moved all the way across the room. And it's a field that I can sense and kind of like I've lost their attention and I know it. Not sure how I know it, but I know it and I can feel it. And I usually say at that point, well, I guess I've talked too much. I'll check back with you. And I just get off the phone with them. I don't try to bring them back, but that's the only way I can put it is that you know where the edge of your field is or your egg. And when you first get on with them, they're right there with you. And then if you're talking too much, they move away.
Doesn't that make sense? That makes perfect sense.
It
And the way you describe feeling it makes perfect sense too.
Well, it's definitely a conscious, like you get in the bubble together and then they leave the bubble. And I'm aware of that when they leave the bubble, even though they haven't said anything like I need to go or anything else.
Okay, so then do you reground yourself? Are you still there?
Sometimes, yeah, I'm thinking about it. I get quiet. And usually the quiet will bring them back in because they're curious as to why I got quiet. And then I will say, perhaps you have a few more moments or something like that, and I can they'll rejoin my consciousness, I guess, and become more attentive to who's on the phone. But I think as humanity, that's kind of the way people roll. Like my daughter does it with me. You know, it's like if you lose their attention. So I don't know how to relate that back to the sacred circle.
Well, the question is, in that relationship with whoever it is, do you want to be in a meaningful relationship with them, using your time like that, or you don't care, or how do you want to approach it?
Do you really want to hear my answer?
Yeah. We can be point blank here. Go
No,
ahead.
they're not going to be my best friends. They're people I work with, so they have a different thing. But when it happens with CJ, my daughter, I usually do try to bring her back in, and I will start to ask her questions that will all ground. Start to ask her some questions, and then she'll kind of come back towards me. And then I change how we separate. And then, in my opinion, most people really want to talk about themselves anyhow. So if you do that, they usually come back. So,
And
I
then
don't
you have
know.
another decision to make.
Yeah, right. Got that right.
this is doing this in everyday life, being aware at that level,
Wow.
and how you want to use your energy. Yeah, usually when people fade, the energy goes dead. And so, how do you keep yours alive?
Ground. Pretty much my answer for my things, but I'm fortunate. You know this. I live in the middle of nowhere, so I don't have a lot of the technology coming in at me that other people have.
Well, you do not live in the middle of nowhere. You live at the base of Mount Shasta.
But there's not a, there's not a lot of cell towers, Sarah. We're still on 4G. It's not every 200 feet there's a 5G thing on a pole. I mean, I'm very sensitive to it. When I go back to Cleveland, I go, oh, good Lord, how did, and after about 3 days, I don't feel it anymore. But the first thing when I get back, I go, oh my God, how do people even, we just become numb to it. And then turn on the tap water. People, I guess, don't know, but when you go to Cleveland, you turn on the tap water, it so smells like chlorine. It's unbelievable. You go, I'm not drinking that. They have a lot in the water. And I don't know. Okay, I'm deviating. Sorry. Okay, I'm done.
Did you feel people leaving?
No, 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 I did not. But there's other people that want to talk. So, okay, thank you.
Okay, where are we now? Who's next? What's your reference point? That's our topic here. And
Sarah,
if, oh,
oh,
yeah, go ahead. Go
so
ahead.
sorry. You want to
That's
finish?
okay. I was
Okay.
just going to say, if you don't have one, maybe commit to one and see what comes from that. So go ahead, Lisa.
Yeah, it's not a surprise. It's my hips and my lower back and the pain. And that's my reference point for how much tension I'm carrying, along with the calves, the connection.
So when you notice that, then what do you do?
I usually breathe more deeply because my breathing does get more shallow when there's a lot of pain. And I usually try to address it if I need to do it physically because of out of alignment, or if I just, need to rest. Often fatigue can bring it on as well. So it varies what I do. And obviously, right now I'm in a very large amount of pain. I have been all week. It's been pretty intense. So I haven't yet released it. It's still there. So I'm aware of that. What's different about today, I think, is that we're going through the steps of grounding very deeply and thoroughly. We haven't yet moved through the whole process yet, so I'm wondering if that's probably a contributing reason for minimal release. Yeah.
Let's okay, go back on you did, okay. But let's with our group, let's come back to grounding. See if a reference point comes to you. And reference points can change. So let's just start with one. And the point of the reference point is to let you know, and you still may be in pain with it, but it lets you know how integrated you are with your consciousness and body together. So most often when we have pain, we leave our body. We vacate the area that is in pain. That is kind of throughout the Western world. And so we leave our body and we float around And there's actually a sense of abandonment with the body. Body feels abandoned by the beautiful spirit that you are. And so there's a point at which you start to gently re-inhabit the area that's in pain. And you're not trying to get rid of the pain. You're trying to re-inhabit your body with your presence, gentle and loving. So if you're doing it to get rid of the pain, there's too much pressure, so it might create more pain. If you're doing it out of a love to reconnect and re-inhabit your being, it's a different experience and it's always informative. And even in pain, we can have a loving presence that reconnects us with our physical consciousness. So we'll have a tendency when we're in pain to objectify and materialize the pain. And then we have all the tests and all the imaging that shows us why we have pain. And so we get more immersed in that. And there can be a dimension of this where you can maintain this loving presence no matter what. Let's try that. Just be in loving presence with your being, and that is each person's unique little step to take, how you do it. So when I release my lower back, I feel my jaw release. I feel an opening. I feel more space for love. And they're little tiny movements, little tiny ones. But I learned that when my sacrum releases, my jaw releases. And I may have known that, but I learned it again. And if you can feel a little bit of subtle energy movement and circulation starting to surface, become a visible or knowable, tune in to the circulation. And begin to rest in the field. What tiny movements and shifts are happening? And as we each come back into inhabiting our physical consciousness, more coherence develops in the group. The frequency gets brighter and higher. We may be able to sense the luminous beings or intelligences that are part of our consciousness. And as we sink into this luminosity or this lightness, a healing can happen. A release can happen. But it's a dynamic experience. It's fluid. It's not trying. It's not aiming. And it's an inch by inch shifting into a more fluid circulation. And for me, it begins with my feet. And this little bit of each one of us coming back, just a little tiny bit, has brought an enormous amount of radiance to the circle. And a shift into a more sacred direction, a sense of the sacred. Okay, so maintaining this, you can also speak and have some thoughts formulate. So imagine you're gathering a group. Or even working with one person, how much pain and suffering are they bringing to the group? On any level. How much embodied presence do they know about? And how do you go about creating a space that can allow for expansion and healing for each person following along their own soul path? And even if that soul path includes some kind of pain and suffering, how do you create a space for something to happen? I'm just putting that out as a seed. How do you maintain your presence and your living, your connection to living energies when you're around people who are not connected and who are suffering? We have a tendency to condense that into something I need to do, quote, I, and I need to do it by myself. It's a discipline I need to have. That's the condition part. But when we shift into ceremonial living, it becomes a supported effort of consciousness to move in the direction that consciousness wants to move. And it also allows us to see clearly any of the influences, whether from our own patterning or the patterns of the culture that are obstructing and creating suffering. But any gathering of people, whether it's for dinner, lunch, cards, hike, whatever you're going to do, business, what precedes it is all the pain and suffering. There's a whole field. That gathers prior to the actual physical meeting. And becoming aware of those influences and learning how to work with yourself under those influences is very much a part of the mastery of learning how to facilitate a ceremony. What's coming up for you around this?
For me, it's if the facilitator is fully grounded and conscious, and to me, that's the most important thing. Then I kind of merge with that field of, of fullness. If the leader is not grounded, then I won't shift.
So, are you saying it from the perspective of someone gathering in the circle and attuning to the leader?
So I'm saying the leader, as a leader, I would need to maintain my groundedness, okay, and firmness, and integrity, authenticity,
Okay,
okay,
so
throughout.
so let me take this down to like an everyday level, if it's okay with you, okay? So you have one particular person that you have to interface with work that you work with a lot, right?
Who keeps popping up while we're talking?
Right,
Yes.
exactly. And okay, and we all have a person like that in our life. And so if you became aware prior to the meetings you have to have, or do you, And do you take care of yourself?
I do. Oh, can I interrupt? Okay. So, yes, I prepare myself, and during the meeting, I maintain that. And sometimes it feels like a distance that I create between us, that I probably won't have any influence on anybody being, maintaining my groundedness, but not participating in the meeting in the fullness, everything that's going on in the meeting. I can feel more separate, that I'm just, okay, I'll inhabit my space and let them inhabit their space. And they're going to be very ungrounded, which this guy is. And I just let him be that way. And he's not shifting. So how to actually help him shift, I don't know. Even though, okay, here I am, I'm grounded, I'm, in my fullness, but I'm not going to affect him,
Right. Okay. So if I can use this as a teaching point here.
Yeah.
Okay. So the way you're doing it is kind of halfway, because then you're left with residue from the meeting. So you may feel yourself grounded and separated in the meeting, but afterwards, you're still carrying the residue of that interaction. Would you agree with that?
Somewhat, not, yeah. I mean, to a large part, I do think I separate. And when I leave the meeting, I still can separate, but there is some residue, yes.
Okay. So, and this is for everyone. This is, I knew I could use this as an example. So, when you're interacting, interfacing with this person, you can feel yourself grounded in yourself, but are you actually circulating with Mother Earth at the time? That's the part that's the important part. So we start to ground, and do we have an awareness of our feet actually connecting with the vibrancy of Mother Earth, so that the whatever heavy energy is in the interaction gets processed during the interaction rather than afterwards. And trying to change him is that's like there's nothing going to happen there. It's not your role. Your role is to circulate that energy for yourself, so that you keep renewing your vibrancy and your energy during a meeting with someone who's not grounded.
Yeah, I do
Wait,
feel that
wait,
happening.
wait, wait. Go, you need to ground now. Okay. So I want to turn this out over to the group. So, how is this landing with people in the group?
I am really appreciating hearing you take him through. And for me, what you're describing needs to happen with my people who I find challenging. To really get the energy circulating feels nearly impossible.
Okay, let's collect our impressions here, because we will open this up. How about someone
Sarah, I
else?
think I can speak to or contribute here. Oh, now I gotta ground.
Good.
Yep. So I feel like, depending on how I have started my day and the level of clearing that I've done, my connection to the earth and the living energies, the spirit of the land. But really, a lot for me has to do with how thoroughly I have gone through the subtle energy hygiene and working with the elements. And if I'm honest with myself, fully clearing to that extent, for me, it takes time. And I don't always allow for that. Probably more often than not, do I get to the place where I can go out and meet a friend or be on the phone. Or having a difficult conversation with someone where there's a level of I'm not attached. The attachment piece to like the emotional piece, if I'm clear and fully in my bubble and flowing, that stuff just bounces off. So I have that reference point of what that feels like, and I wish for more of that to be in this part of my life because for me, that's what ceremony offers, that circulation. And then another piece to add is back to when we were talking about our reference points. I usually can feel the flow or circulation in my feet. And we've talked about like the three-legged stool. And a lot of times, my tailbone, when I'm in a conversation, I don't feel my tailbone as much. I can feel the flow in my feet, but the tailbone's missing. And I notice that when my tailbone's missing, then that's where I have like a feeling in my solar plexus, or that, somewhere in my stomach, there's a tightness. And when the tailbone releases, the tightness in my stomach softens. And then I have a sense that I'm a little bit more in my flow. But I'd love to deepen that, the tailbone piece, because it feels so good. It like opens up the vault.
Thank you.
I have three things that came up. One was I realized even coming into this meeting today, this group today, I thought I was grounded, but as I was relaxing my, my pelvic region and whatnot, it became a cascading effect. And then I realized there were other places that were a lot tenser than I had realized, and they started releasing, and that was a really good piece for me to see. Like, even though I'm thinking I'm grounded, there's this subtle tension that's underlying my body that even if I think I'm tuned into it, it's still very subtle, that tension. And then the other piece, I think another thing that is a good cue for me is my heartbeat gets much more intense. It's I could feel my heart beating harder and faster, and so that was something I hadn't picked up on before.
Beautiful.
Yeah, and then the last piece, when you were talking with Ken specifically, what came for me. At first, I thought maybe I'm projecting to Ken, but then I realized it was my own experience. Is that in those moments, for me, it's particularly interacting with my mom. If I think I'm grounding, sometimes there's a different. I realize for me, it's a difference between blocking it out, putting a wall up, So you can distance yourself from that energy, but you're not grounded, right? And for me, that was a huge aha moment, because when I'm interacting with my mom in a tense situation, I might have that wall up, but then, I've got all that stuff still stuck to me after the interaction. And so it was like, aha, it's the difference between that blocking versus me truly grounding and sourcing from Mother Earth and the living energies.
Yes. Thank you for bringing that point forward. This is really, we're that when I said this is very sobering, a lot of what we're going through right here. It's sobering to allow yourself to know the deeper connection to yourself and your body and what clarity feels like, instead of blocking or defending or projecting, all those things that we do. And it really applies when you can have that kind of awareness with one person, that crosses over and applies to when you're working with groups or your individual clients. And so noticing and being aware of your circulation of living energies is the primary practice. And being willing to see where you need to self-correct.
I would say for myself, I notice an impatience and interrupting.
That impatience is our culture. It's the name for our culture. It's really.
Yeah, and I want to, like, people are talking, and I'll want to just, like, interrupt and say, I got it, and move on.
You know, Carolyn, I don't think you're an impatient person. Truly, when I look at who you are, I think you're
I'd say
picking.
generally I'm not an impatient person, but it definitely shows up.
Right, but you're picking up that pervasive impatience. And when we end up interrupting someone, it's because we're picking up that swoosh of impatience that is inherently in our culture.
Ah, okay. Got that.
So I want you to feel this. I want you to feel settling back into yourself and feeling that rush of impatience as something maybe in front of you, around you, somewhere, but not you. Can you discern that?
Yes. I just noticed that I'm still, like, in such a, like, a trance point, and all of a sudden that just popped into my head. So I don't know if maybe somebody else was having impatience then.
Oh, we all, I mean, it's part of our sphere. I mean, it's just we
Yeah.
haven't gone deep enough to actually get out of that fully yet.
Got it.
We're just letting this settle in right now. If anyone else has something to share, please do. But there's this transmission that is helping to clear this, open it, and bring more awareness to this within our being, which means we're getting support to be able to know ourselves more clearly, accept us, want to clear more, know more in a deeper way. This is helping to shift a lot of obstruction here, heavy energy that's here. Because I'll tell you, if you go into trying to create a sacred ceremony in any kind of impatient way or any way where you're deluded, man, that can really create some situations. There we go. I don't know if everyone can feel it, but we are really getting cleared and realigned here. Can some of you feel that?
Yep.
I feel a pressure flowing through from my chest down into the ground, into the earth. I felt my tailbone release into the earth.
So we're really getting a lot of support. We're cracking through the rigidity of that conditioning. Engulfs us and creates that tension. And some of you feel yourself relaxing more.
I felt just a big dropping in just now.
So we are still in this alive relationship with Mother Earth, the spirit of the land, and the nature spirits. And this is our dimensional effect of this relational relationship. Because you didn't just say to yourself, you in general, yeah, I'm going to re ground and release more. It happened. And when that happens, you know that you're in relationship with a greater consciousness that is supporting you. We are releasing a lot of heavy energy now into Mother Earth. So, you know how when you hear stories of ceremonies, either with indigenous people or a lot with indigenous people, there's usually some kind of preparatory period before people get together. You know, and sometimes there's fasting or there's eating special foods or performing certain rituals, you know, like one of the things I have everyone do, which I didn't do this time, is complete everything that's been incomplete that you can complete right now. But what you did have as the preparation for this was the recommendation to work with the elements every day. So there's always a preparatory period that you want to have before a ceremony begins to help clear and settle and release a lot of the heavy energy. You don't want to slam into all that heavy energy on the first day of the ceremony without preparation. And it's actually very hard to get people to do that unless they're strongly motivated. Asking for one comment a day in preparation to leading up to this. How hard was that? It's hard to get through the heavy energy of the culture. And so a daily practice that brings us into relationship with the living energies. And the simplest form is the elements and directions and the spirit of the land and the nature spirits. Builds the pattern of the circulation so that it becomes default. And it releases that sense of, I have to do this all myself. That I am in relationship with a supportive dimension of living being. And this heaviness is the releasing of the heavy energy. It's kind of like you can't really do anything. You've surrendered. And this is sitting through the cleansing. So, this is important to be able to allow it to happen. And it might make you sleepy or agitated or any number of experiences, but we are, as a group, since we engaged with the dimensional beings and the living energies, we are in process of being cleansed and purified to be able to enter into a sacred space. And some of those preparatory stages are uncomfortable. They can be comfortable or uncomfortable or nothing. And to recognize what it is, know how it feels, and be able to kind of live through it. Is important. So we're almost at 2 o'clock here. So why don't we take an hour break, come back at 3? That's Eastern Daylight Time. Do what you need to do here. Know that you're going through a cleansing, that you're engaged with Mother Earth, the spirit of the land, the nature spirits, that something's happening here. And see what you need to do. And we'll come back at 3 o'clock. So, what I'm going to do is we're going to hang up and I'm going to send out another link. And I think it'll work this time. So, but if you don't have a link by within a half hour or an email, shoot me an email, let me know. Okay, so we're going to hang up and take a little lunchtime. Blessings.